Good morning, everyone. Wonders, welcome, especially to Moon Alliance Church. Please stand up and wave at us. Welcome you. It'd be great if I started studying the Bible in your age. Okay, let's look at 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Yesterday, we talked about when Paul was facing persecution, he wanted to pass the baton to Timothy. So the circumstance was really difficult, but faith was being passed down. So Paul received the baton from his ancestors, and Timothy received the baton from his mother and grandmother. Now entering to the second chapter. The title for this chapter is Teach Faithfully, Passing On to the Generations. The second verse. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Here a few groups are mentioned. You, which is Timothy, heard me say, me refers to Paul. So Paul taught Timothy, and then he said, Timothy, you go and teach other reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. So, and trust to reliable men so he can also teach others. Here we already see four generations. Paul to Timothy. And Timothy passed on to someone who can teach others, and that reliable person can teach others. So Paul, he needed to give his baton to others, and he told Timothy, you also need to pass on to someone who can pass on the baton to others. I give you the baton. You need to pass it on to someone who can teach others. So it's being passed on to different generations. In other words, those who can teach others are the ones who can disciple others, who make disciples. Because Jesus said to make disciples of all nations. Everything I've taught you, you need to teach them. So, Timothy, you are my disciple. You must remember, you should also raise up other disciples who can disciple others. It's like succession through the generations, one generation to another. How can this be done? We need to go back to verse 1. My son, you be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's a little bit different from our understanding. We would think, okay, I'll be strong. I will be strong. In Greek, the original language, the word strong is actually a passive word. That means we are being strengthened. being strengthened by the grace of Christ. It's different. I need to rely on God to be strong. Sometimes we may have such a feeling in terms of spiritual things, like, I want to do this. And then sooner or later you realize you can make a decision, but you may not be able to do what you want to do. For example, you say, okay, I want to fast today, but you feel really hungry even before noontime. So I want to do it. It's very difficult. But you just need to tell Jesus, Lord, help me. Give me the grace for fasting for today. And then you repeat that for 40 days, asking for grace, and then you can fast for 40 days. That's something really special. Just like Paul, Timothy may also experience the world as the circumstance is really challenging. And people in Asia were departing Paul. And of course, they may also reject Timothy. And Paul already was away, so Timothy needed to be strong. And here it says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We know that we are not good. We have a lot of issues. But we can rely on God to walk day by day. He will help me in my weaknesses and limitations, and then I can walk step by step. Then I can make disciples, I can teach others. There will be succession through the generations. Succession is very important. This is something that we, each one, has to face. For example, just like a company. What if a company cannot find a successor? Well, the company needs to close down. Because you cannot find a successor. You cannot just choose any random person to take up a job. Otherwise, the person may lead the company to bankruptcy. Recently, I watched a movie. And someone spent only 7 years to lead the company to an end. If there's no successor in a company, the company will end in failure. As long as we have successor, then strength can be passed on from generation to generation. We ourselves can only serve God at most for 40, 50 years, but if we have the next generation, it will be different. The 40 years can be added on. And the next generation can add another 40 years. So the most important thing is the baton is being passed down. It can be passed down to the generations. Just like the movie says, even if I die, behind me are millions and millions, billions of Chinese. So Paul, even when he needed to face death, he was thinking about raising up disciples to catch a baton. Verse 3, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Today, think about the idea, how can we be a good soldier? Only those who can raise up disciples are good soldiers. We want to be a good soldier. But what it means to be a good soldier is those who can entrust to reliable men, who can teach people to teach others. Verse 4, no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. So if you are a soldier, you need to be focused. You don't need to do anything else. You cannot say, I'm a soldier on the field, but I have a relative who's getting married, so I need to leave the army base and go to have a drink, to attend a banquet. More professional you are as a soldier, the better it is. Just like in the Old Testament, the high priest, they need to be set apart. They cannot draw near to a corpse, a dead person. They need to focus on God. Even a relative has passed away, the high priest cannot attend the funeral or be close to the corpse of the dead person. Well, of course, I'm not telling you neglect everything, even if your relative is dead or passed away, because God does not regard us as high priest. But the point is, we need to be focused. The more focused we are, the greater the breakthrough we'll see. In all kinds of words, we need to be diligent, to be hardworking in order to be successful. So when we want to be a good soldier of Christ, to teach others the Word of God, we need to raise up disciples. We need to be focused. To please his commanding officer. Verse 5, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. A soldier needs to go to the war and he wants to win the battle. If you win and you stay alive, then you'll be promoted. In the competition, we need to do it according to the rules, which means in our ministry, we need to follow the spiritual principles. Then we can please God in our ministry. When we follow the spiritual principles, we receive the crown. Actually, it's very easy to bring in the worldly principles as we do ministry in the church. It's a little bit embarrassing. To make it too specific. But we always have this issue. We always need to reflect, would God do this? Would God do things this way? We need to use follow the spiritual principles. Okay, the next image is verse 6, the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Verse 7, reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. A lot of imageries are being used here, like a soldier, an athlete, or farmer. A farmer can only work if he's well fed. If we need to feed others, we need to first be fed. We rely on the gospel to be fed. When we do the work of God, then we enjoy God's provision in terms of the physical material. It's like that. Spiritually, it's the same. When we faithfully teach others, we need to have an inspiration from God first, from the Word of God. I receive this revelation, and then I can pass on and give the inspiration to others. So it's the same physically and spiritually. How do we pass on to the generations and teach faithfully? We need to be focused. We need to follow spiritual principles. We need to be hardworking in order to be good soldiers of Christ. And then verse 8 to 13 talks about being an example. It's also a concept of succession. Christ raised from the dead. Christ needs to be dead first, and then crucified on the cross, and finally resurrected. Christ must have gone through that, and so must Paul. Christ suffered, and Paul also suffered. He said, I'm being bound like a criminal, chained like a criminal. But he endured the suffering. He said, I walk through the journey like Christ, the journey of suffering. He said, I endure everything for the sake of the elect. And endure with Christ, so endure suffering, so he may also reign with Christ. And he's saying to us, you need to follow my example, just as I followed Christ's example. We need to go through the path of suffering like Christ, and then we can reign with Christ as King. If we disown him, he will also disown us. This is what this paragraph is about. And the next paragraph, verse 14 onwards, says, keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. It says, do this. Teach them faithfully. Find your successor. Do not quarrel about words. And do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Verse 15, it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. And Timothy, he must live before Paul to listen to the teaching of Paul. And he, Timothy, must also live before God. We should be doing everything as if God is standing next to us. We need to please God. But how to do that? Is that we need to handle the word of truth correctly. Seems that it's easy to do, but actually it's not easy. Especially in the last few years, I would give comments to the students for their 10 minutes preaching in the Bible school. It's like the word itself has a spirit. And human, we also have our own spirit. So when the spirit of man collides with the spirit of God in the word, there can be a lot of variations. The preacher wants to talk about the Bible, but actually the preacher or the student is actually speaking or saying things he wants to say, diverted from the Bible. Sometimes the more I listen, the more confused I get. How could you arrive at this point? The Bible is not talking about this. And then I realized not only the Bible students commit this mistake, actually a lot of pastors are like this. So we need to handle the Word of God correctly, accurately. To understand the Word of God, I don't know why it becomes quite difficult. Sometimes it's not so difficult to talk about the Bible, but if you want to explain what this passage means exactly, that is very challenging. This is what I've been thinking or reflecting upon. Now I have some understanding. If you want to handle the Word of God correctly, you need to surrender. To surrender first. To hear what God is saying. Your spirit must surrender under the Word of God. Just talk about what the Word is saying. Just be faithful. Do not divert from the scope of the passage. Sometimes we want to use this passage of the scripture to talk about another message in the Bible. We just elaborate on what we want to talk about. We cannot just explain the passage by itself. So today, I think the scripture reminds us, verse 14, do not quarrel about words. So in order to teach the Word of God, to handle the Word of God correctly, first of all, we should not quarrel about words. We should learn not to quarrel about words. If you quarrel, then whoever listens to your teaching, they will be ruined. And the first 15, avoid godless chatter. If you debate or quarrel more, those who listen will be ruined. And verse 16, it says, the more you talk about on your own, the further away you are from the Word of God. Verse 18, those who have wandered away from the truth, they say that the resurrection has already taken place and then destroy the faith of some. So the more you talk about, the more you will destroy. Even you may destroy the faith of people. We need to reject godless chatter. the more we talk on our own, the more we divert from the Word of God. What are they arguing about? They're arguing about the Bible. It should be like this. But the more they talk about, they argue, the more they go astray. So when I read today, what it means to handle the word of the truth correctly, we need to talk less about other things. Do not talk about godless chatter. Do not argue. Then we may be able to handle the word of God more correctly. So first of all, do not talk about anything nonsense. Try not to mention or talk about anything that's nonsense or non-related. Faithful teaching requires us to be focused just to explain the Word of God and to avoid unrighteousness, avoid the evil desires of youth, verse 22. I've heard a testimony. A brother wanted to share the gospel with the prostitutes in the red light zone, but after a while, he ended up following the prostitute. It's great to have passion to share the gospel with the prostitutes. But before we do that, God wants us to flee the evil desires of the youth. We need to flee to go away from that red light zone. We should not go to the red light zone to make friends with the prostitutes and talk with them. Otherwise, before you can save others, you yourself got trapped. We want to do a lot of things for God, but we must be in the right place. We need to learn before Paul. We need to teach others before God. We need to be a servant without blame before God. Do not say anything that we shouldn't say. When we face temptation, we must flee from temptations. God, the Bible says we must flee. It's not like we go to the red light zone and we don't sleep with prostitutes. We are very self-controlled. No, we need to flee from that area. We need to draw close to God, to spend time with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, those who love the Lord. May the Lord help us. We need to teach faithfully and pass on down the generations. Let the Word of God fill our mind and heart, and do not keep away from godless chatter and temptations. Let's come before the Lord and tell the Lord we want to be servant of God and to disciple others. Become good soldiers of the Lord. Let's rise up.